Let's pray. Father, we worship you this morning. We've just sung about worshiping you in your presence eternally. And for everyone that has put their faith and trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and has been born again, we will worship you endlessly in heaven. But we actually can worship you today, and we have come to do that. And so, Father, guide us as we continue to worship you this morning, as we look at Scripture, as we have sung, as we fellowship now, before, and later. May you be glorified. I just want to pray again, Father, for those in Florida, Texas, and affected by fires, and those on our prayer list. We lift them up to you this morning, Father, and ask for your intervention and your will to be done. To be with those that have again lost their loved ones in these last days, comfort them and encourage them and walk with them through this pathway we call life. Help us to trust you, to love you, to surrender to you, and always, always be led by your Spirit. Guide us in this service and services everywhere to the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we were away, I was reading some posts on a web page called faithfamilyandamerica.com. Excuse me. And two articles that I read one evening were of interest to me, but yet broke my heart at the same time. The first one, the title was "Hundreds of Pastors and Christian Leaders Take Side Against the Bible." That caught my attention. It may have caught yours if you'd see that headline. Hundreds of pastors and Christian leaders take sides against the Bible. And so I read that, and apparently sometime recently there was a gathering of evangelical leaders in Nashville, and 150 pastors and Christian evangelical leaders signed a statement at this Nashville gathering reaffirming the traditional Christian teaching on marriage. That's what I read in the story. I don't know much more about it than that. But in this statement, they simply reasserted that man-woman marriage remains the biblical teaching despite what popular culture promotes. And as was expected, there was immediate backlash to those that signed the document. But what was not expected were there were hundreds of Christian pastors, writers, theologians who joined in the criticism. Among them was a pastor who signed that this organization against the 150 that signed that statement is in part of them are called a group called Christians United. And amongst that group is a pastor who signed that document, like I said, against the 150 who said this statement is still biblical, relevant, and true. That pastor said this. He happens to be a pastor and a gay activist, and his name was written, but I'm not going to share that. It's not that important. But what his statement is this. It is time that Christians hear from a different moral authority on queer identity, said the pastor. They conclude, these hundreds that are opposed to the document and the evangelical pastors assigned that the Bible in that part of it is out of date, irrelevant, or inaccurate. The second article I read with interest that same evening that I won't elaborate on as much. It just is heartbreaking to me to read an article like this. It said, our neighbors to the north in Ontario Here's the headline. Ontario passes a law allowing the government to seize children from their parents if those parents oppose gender transition. You can figure the rest out. I don't have to elaborate any more on that. Keep those thoughts in mind. You may have noticed in your bulletin that I am on our second series called Urgent Times. We're not quite done with the first series yet from Proverbs. But you may have gathered by now we have two series going at once. Today is called We Are Living in Urgent Times. Scripture, Luke 14, if you have your Bible, look there. Luke 14, just three verses, 25, 6, and 7. My time is going to go very quickly because I have a little thing at the end I want to do too here for us today. So grab your Bible, open to Luke 14. Remember these headlines that I have mentioned to you because I will refer back to them in a moment. Luke 14, 25, 26, and 7. The Bible says this. Now great multitudes went with him. Masses of people were around. This is a very important phrase to remember what Luke says here. They were not necessarily following because they had committed to be followers. I call them curious onlookers. People who went with him that were wondering about him. Today's vernacular, we could say, well, I believe in God, Jim. But they weren't following Jesus. And so we see here, now great multitudes went with him. And he, that's Jesus, turned and said to them, because he knew the intentions of their heart. He said, if any of you... He was talking to multitudes of people. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, yes, and his own life, you cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear up his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, we know what the scripture says, honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. Parents, love your children. He's not saying to cast them aside and hate them. But what he is saying, in comparison to following me, you've got to put everything else aside. He is saying that. You must be willing, above all else, you must be willing to go there to follow him, to set everything else aside. You know, I have said many, many, many times before, people, all of us and everybody else, humanity, people, we are going to have to decide about Jesus. All of us and everyone else has to decide and choose about Jesus. No decision, an absolute decision to repent of sin and to accept Christ as Lord and follow Him wherever He leads us is a decision about eternity. All people have to decide if he is relevant today or not. All people at some point will have to decide. I don't care if you're the president or the pastor or the priest or a king or a deacon or something else. We have to decide if we are going to follow Jesus. We must decide if we are going to be born again. Because if we're not, we will never see the kingdom of heaven. Now listen to me before I go to Christians. I'm talking about people in general. Curious onlookers is not going to get it done, as it didn't that day. There was this curious crowd. Who is he? What is he doing? Maybe he fed that group. Maybe I can get in on a little feeding. There was this curious, onlooking crowd that went with him wondering what might happen next. But many of them never decided to follow Jesus. We have to decide if we're going to follow Jesus. Now, Christians, if we claim the name of Christ today, we are going to have to decide, is this still relevant? We that name the name of Jesus are going to have to decide if Jesus and His Word is going to follow us and to mold us and to shape us, or the world and what it says is, because it will mold you and it will shape you if you let it. Christians, we must decide if we are going to follow Jesus or the world. You cannot do both, and that's what he was telling that crowd that day. If you're going to follow me, you've got to decide today, count the cost, and follow me no matter what. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24:15. You know the verse. After he had led the people into the promised land, after they had taken over the promised land and began to get settled down, and Joshua was old, and he called all the Jewish leaders, all the people of the time, the Israelites, together, and he reminded them in Joshua 24:15, "If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you are going to serve." Christians in America today and beyond have to decide if we are going to follow Jesus and His Word or follow the Word, the world, and its Word. The first article that I referred to, many pastors, Christian theologians, etc., take side against the Bible. That seems like an oxymoron to me. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If we're going to claim the name of Christ and yet discredit and discard His holy word, then what, pray tell, is going to guide us? What is going to be our lighthouse? If we claim the name of Christ and let the world mold us and shape us and disregard His word, then we're not following. We're not following Jesus, we're following the world. Either You may not subscribe to this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Either the whole of the Bible is true or none of it is. Either we subscribe to all of it and its teachings, whether culture doesn't like it or not. We subscribe to all of it or set it on the museum shelf as antiquated and out of date. We either, as Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, subscribe to this book or we don't. There is no in between. There is no I get to pick what I want to and the rest gets set aside. That's not how it works. Either all of God's Word is still important and instructive and useful, or none of it is, and we are going to have to decide that. I know, I heard the message that Jim shared with you last week, and he said to you, "I know I'm speaking to the choir." I heard him say that. And I know I may be speaking to the choir. I get that. But I want us to decide in our mind today. I don't care how old or how young we are. I don't care about our titles. We're going to have to decide, first and foremost, is Jesus relevant? He is the only way to heaven, brothers and sisters. That's what the Word of God says. Not being good, not my confirmation, not my baptism, not my Sunday school teacher's role, not being a deacon, none of that, but my faith in the resurrected Christ. We're going to have to decide about Jesus. And when we do, and we claim the name Christian, we're going to have to decide if this is going to guide me, or popular notion of the day is. We're going to have to decide. Billy Graham, just prior to his first crusade in Los Angeles in 1949. Did any of y'all remember that? I wasn't around then. I wasn't around then yet. I'm old, but I'm not that old. Billy Graham was about to do his first crusade in Los Angeles. It was 1949. And his long-term friend, Chuck Templeton, some of you know that name. Chuck was an evangelist in Canada before. Preached to thousands of people, especially young people. But eventually Chuck turned his back on God and walked away from Him. Rejected God, rejected the Bible. And he told Billy that night. This was a personal friend of Billy's. This is in the Decision magazine, if you get that. I get it. I gleaned this right out of the latest Decision magazine. Chuck said to Billy that night, he said, "Billy, you're 50 years out of date. This is 1949. He said, "You're 50 years out of date. People no longer accept the Bible as inspired the way you do. Your faith is too simple." Billy wrestled that, the article says. He needed to get alone with God that night. The crusade was about to start, after all. And he took a walk in the moonlit night in the hills around Los Angeles. And he cried out, "Oh God," and I quote, "there are many things in this book that I do not understand." He's referring to this one. "There are even some things that do not seem to correlate with modern science." And the article says that Billy Graham paused and then he prayed, "Father, I'm going to accept this as your word by faith." And we are going to have to do the same thing. When Billy Graham got up from his knees, he said, "I sense the presence of Almighty God like I had not in a long time." And he said, "Not all of my questions were answered." Friends, they never will be this side of glory. We take some things in faith. "But," he said, "I knew a spiritual battle in my soul had been fought and won." Hallelujah. I share this message with us again today, friends, because as Christians, now maybe I got to step back a second and maybe I need to offer Christ to you again. Maybe you haven't been born again. That I'm not condemning, I'm just inquiring. Maybe you haven't come to that place that says, "I know what your word says. I believe it. And when Jesus said to the religious guy, 'You must be born again,' I understand that now. I haven't been there. I haven't got there yet, but I want to." Maybe that's where you're at today. I want to simply instruct you by faith. Repent of sin. Believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and receive Him by faith into your life and be born again. But Christians, we too must decide, is the Word of God relevant? If we claim the name of Christ, if we have been born again, we must decide, am I going to follow Jesus? Because when I read articles like this first one that I read, it appears to me when hundreds and over 1,000 Christian leaders signed a petition against the 150 that said, that teaching in here is out of date, something isn't right. We are going to have to decide, is this all right or is it all wrong? If anyone comes to me and is not willing to set everything aside, Jesus said, including your parents, including your wife, including your kids, including your titles, including your idols, including your stuff, including your toys, including your pleasure, including everything else. If we are not willing to set it all aside for Jesus, He said, you cannot be my disciple. Let me close with this, because then I'm going to invite someone forward. Pastor and author Skip Heitzig. I'm not real familiar with that name. Maybe some of you are. This is also in the latest Decision magazine. But pastor and author Skip Heitzig says this: a Bible opened for observation and interpretation without application is simply a decoration. I think he's right. A Bible opened for observation and interpretation without application is simply a decoration. Either, brothers and sisters, we adhere to the Word of God or we don't. There is no in between. Do we understand everything? No. Billy Graham said, I don't even understand everything. Jim says to you, I don't understand everything, but I understand this is the Word of God, and I also understand you can't pick and choose what you want to apply and what you don't. I understand that. First and foremost, I want to follow Jesus. Jim, am I perfect? No, you know that. If I had a week of vacation every month, though, I might be closer. Take that up with the board as soon as you can, will you? No, I'm just being facetious. But first and foremost, I want to follow Jesus. Every one of us are going to have to decide. It's more than a prayer, friends. It's a commitment. It's a surrender. It's a picking up my cross on a daily basis and following. We're going to have to decide. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to encourage others to do the same. And secondly, we in the church better decide if the Word of God is going to shape us or the world is. Because it looks to me like when I read those kind of articles, the world is. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 4:4, and He's reiterating from a scripture, I forgot where, in the Old Testament, when Jesus answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how His church lives. We need more than physical bread. We need the bread of life. We need the Word of God. We need to allow this to shape us and mold us and even form our thinking and follow Jesus. Amen? People of God, we have to decide. We have to decide. If we're going to follow Jesus, is His Word still relevant in the 21st century in America? We're going to have to decide that. Only Jesus will judge your heart. I'm just going to try to pass on Scripture. But He knows where you're at. He knows if you've been born again. He knows if you haven't. He knows if you say you've been born again and you're paying no attention to the Word. You're not even spending time in the Word. He knows that. I'm not your judge, but God knows that. And He's called His church to follow Him, not the world. Tracy and Dan, will you come forward, please? Every now and then, as pastor and board, we get to hear from people who God is doing an extraordinary work in. Tracy has come to the board recently, which is the first step in the Free Methodist process, in a long process of God calling somebody to ordination. And so she has come to the board and she has answered a number of questions that said, I sense the call of God on my life. I don't know what that means, she said. I know the feeling. I'm still wondering some days. But she says, I sense the call of God on my life to more. He wants more from me. And I am willing to do that. I am willing to say, as Isaiah said in chapter 6, here I am, Lord, send me. That's what she has said. She doesn't even know what that means yet. What God would call her to, or where, or how. But she has, in fact, said, yes, Lord, if you're calling me to more, I am willing to go. And so, in the step of the process of the Free Methodist Church, she come and share that with our board. She happens to be on the board. But she come and share her heart's desires to the board. And the board has accepted her in a position we call local ministerial candidacy, which is a stepping stone towards ordination someday if the Lord and her continue to go down that path of ordination. Part of that becoming a local ministerial candidate is also to stand before you and answer these three questions. So you see, too, that the Lord is working on her heart. One of the things that I ask Tracy before I ask her the six questions to the board and the three that I'm going to ask her now is, I ask her, how about your husband? Because you know what? Dan is part of Tracy, and Tracy is part of Dan. And to go into the ministry is not for the faint of heart. And Dan said that he's with her, supports her, and loves her. Thank you, brother, for supporting her that way. And so I ask her that. Because if Dan would say, you're on your own, pal, that would be tough. So here's the questions that I'm going to ask her. Then I'm going to invite some of you others to come and lay hands on them. Tracy, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you offer yourself in service to Him as a local ministerial candidate in the Motley Free Methodist Church? If so, answer, I do. Recognizing that being a local ministerial candidate in this congregation is an important step to confirming the call of God on your life, do you pledge to diligently seek the Lord's will for your life through prayer and study? If so, answer, I do. And will you seek and accept the guidance of your pastor and the local board of administration in order to fulfill these goals? If so, answer, I will. I ask you, our congregation, to stand in affirmation to accept her with us while I and others that want to lay hand on them pray over them. Will you stand in joining in affirmation as she enters into this journey in ministry? And board members or people come around, gather around them while we pray, and then we will sing a verse from our closing song. Gather around here, brothers and sisters. Lay hands on Dan and Tracy as we pray for them. Almighty God, what a privilege to serve you. What a privilege it is to stand here today and lay hands on your daughter and her husband. We did it before with Richard and Kathy. They're serving you in a place in Illinois today, but what a privilege it is to lay hands today on Tracy and Dan and invite your blessing and your leading and your guidance and your strength to them in their lives in this journey. As we journey together in the local ministerial candidacy before the next step that is called conference ministerial candidate and before the next step which is ordination, Father, will you guide her and help her to know your perfect will? Will you help her and Dan to see your hand in their lives? Will you strengthen them in this journey and help them to know and pray, thy will be done? Thank you for her heart, her willingness to serve. Bless them in that endeavor, in that journey. Together and their children, we pray in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.